Wednesday night at 8 on Radio Catskill.
Support for WJFF Radio Catskill comes from the Calicoon Farmers Market, Calicoon Creek Park, serving local needs every Sunday and accepting pre-orders at calicoonfarmersmarket.org. From Forthright Cider, Youngsville, ciders and mead crafted with locally sourced ingredients, supporting community charities with a portion of sales through the Solidarity Cider Program. ForthrightCYDER.com. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome to the local edition, local news and information to keep you connected right here in the Catskills of Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Coming up, what is up with that energy tax in Sullivan County? Last year during the pandemic, the county legislature voted to install a 4% tax on energy usage in Sullivan County, but at a recent meeting, legislature voted to remove all the tax but the electricity. For more on this, Patricio Rubio checks in with Joe Abraham, the Sullivan County Democrat. That's coming up at the later part of the program. Also be talking to New Hope Community about Jeopardy. And a New Hope employee was on Jeopardy, so we'll find out more about that. But first, it's Thursday. It's the day we check in with Wayne County, Northeast Pennsylvania. And the 7th Annual Elder Justice Day will take place on Wednesday, August 18th. That's tomorrow from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Airport Park in Matamoros. And to tell us more about it, it's Robin Soares, Protective Services Options and Assessment Supervisor for the Pike County Area Agency on Aging. Hello, Robin. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So before we get to the event, can you just remind folks about the Pike County Area Agency on Aging, what you do?
Sure. We provide services to the community, all our seniors of Pike County. Home-delivered meals. We provide protective services, option services for people that may need some personal care and some help in the home. And pretty much the Area on Aging is there to help with any question you need.
You know, we mentioned Pike County AAA for aging many times last week because you put out a notice just reminding folks about the heat. You know, it got really hot last week, and you were directing especially those who are vulnerable to heat, especially seniors, that if they aren't able to cool at home, that they can go to the various centers around the area. I was just wondering, and you might not actually know this, but did people make it through okay? Did people avail themselves of those resources?
Yeah, we did make it through pretty well. The center is always available for cooling and warming, you know, in the winter if needed. And we'll always put an announcement out when we see the weather getting too hot, too cold. We're here to assist.
Okay, that's great. And, of course, you know, did a phenomenal job trying to make sure that people were still getting meals last year, especially after the congregant meal sites at those centers had to shut down. So, but on to this Elder Justice Day, how's it been? First, what is it?
Elder Justice Day is it happens annually. Unfortunately, last year we had to put it on hold due to COVID, but we're very excited to have it this year at Airport Park. We educate our seniors and our community on abuse, exploitation, neglect, and provide education to them so we can help reduce the risk of them being, you know, abused, neglected, or exploited. Mm. With that said, we're pretty excited. Tomorrow's our 7th annual, and it's at Airport Park from 10 to 2, and we're going to have it under the pavilion. So if it rains, it rains. We're ready for you.
And this is the seventh annual. How has this been going the past few years? How have people been responding to it?
We have a great turnout. This year, we probably have about three quarters of what participation as we usually do. But, you know, with that said, it's very exciting because everybody's been so isolated and afraid, you know, to attend community events. But the turnout this year, we got about 60 seniors coming out. And we have about 15 providers and our community ready to support our seniors.
Oh, that was great. That sounds good. Sounds like it was a success. The registration deadline has passed. How can folks get info from the event if they need help, if they missed it? Is there anything they can do at this point?
Oh, sure. Just call the aging office. We're always ready to educate our seniors. They could come into the centers, any one of our centers. There's always literature and somebody willing to spend some time and talk to them.
That's great. And what's their best way for them to get a hold of you?
You could reach us at the aging office, and it's 570-775-5550.
Okay, great. And is there anything else that you want folks to know while we're talking here?
If you are able to come out and stop by the event tomorrow, we would love to have you. If you are not comfortable tomorrow with attending an event, there is a drive-through option. So if you just want to drive through and grab a bag of educational materials, we'd love to have you.
Okay, that's great. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and we'll definitely be checking in with you again.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Local Edition. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
Here's an invitation for you.
Radio Catskill is partnering with the Chandelier Music Festival right now during its 27th season to bring you its Sunset Concert Series. Tune in every day this week for music recorded live at this year's festival in place of Performance Today and Living Jazz. More information about the festival and its artists is at chandelier.org, and listen to Chandelier Music Fest Week right here on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, public radio for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. On air, online, on your smartphone, and on your smart speaker. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. From river to river, mountain to mountain, we are Radio Catskill.
Okay, that energy tax, what's up with that? This is the Local Edition, and last year during the pandemic, Sullivan County Legislature voted to install a 4% tax on energy usage. The previous year, at a recent meeting, they voted to remove all the tax but the electricity, but many are confused about the wording of the bill. With a re-vote coming up this Thursday, our own Patricio Rubio spoke to Joseph Abraham, managing editor of the Sullivan County Democrat. We're going to see if Joe can clear up some of the confusion here.
During the pandemic, we never had anything like this happen in our generation. So the county, like many other places, didn't exactly know what the impact would be on the bottom line and finances for the year. So in an interest in trying to gain some funds, they implemented and voted in the summer of 2020 to put in a 4% residential energy tax on all these different forms of energy, propane, gas, electricity. And it should be noted that commercial businesses had been already paying this tax. It's a sales tax of sorts. But this is at the time, there were no residential energy tax. So they put that in place. And then last March comes, and they're looking at the budget, and they realize that, hey, this didn't hit us, the pandemic, as badly as we thought it would financially. So there was some discussion about looking into repealing the tax in its entirety, pending the results of their annual audit. So there was recent discussion, again, closer to earlier this month about repealing it, and a lot of legislators believed that everyone was on the same page about repealing it. But then the audit was presented to the county, and what he had said was that the Department of the Treasury, when they were doing the American Rescue Plan monies, were looking at calculating through a formula how much revenue counties lost because of the pandemic. And it was calculated that Sullivan County lost approximately $10 million in revenue in the past year. So the auditor had pretty much said that the county would be in better financial health. In fact, he called it stable financial health if they were able to get $5 to $10 million more dollars in their fund balance. So after hearing that audit, a resolution was put forth at a special meeting to amend the 4% residential energy tax so that it would only be on electricity as opposed to getting rid of it in its entirety. Chairman Rob Doherty, Mike Brooks, legislators Nick Salamone, George Conklin, and Alan Sorensen voted in favor of the resolution, and Doherty had said it would be a financially prudent thing to get the county to stable financial health, and that this tax spread the pain evenly over, taxpayers, because most of us have electricity in some regard of a tax, while not everyone has propane, not everyone has gas. Nadia Reich, Louis Alvarez, Joe Perillo, and Ira Steingart voted against the tax for the purpose of they wanted it gone entirely. And Nadia had said at the meeting that, she felt this was an extra burden on taxpayers, as did the other legislators. They also had that same position with everything going on with the pandemic. So the resolution passed 5-4 with, the ones in favor of just amending the tax, getting their way in that argument. But Alan Sorensen, who voted in favor of the resolution, amending the tax, asked for a report. There's nothing specifically that the county treasurer could get that breaks down how much each individual thing within the energy tax, propane, gas, electric, would actually cost or actually get them in revenue. But they asked for some documentation from her in order to get to the closest possible realization that they could find as far as how much actually would come from electricity. And then Sorensen said at that time, we can revisit it. Well, then the following week at legislature, which was last Thursday, Nadia had brought forth that she was going to look at wanting to get rid of it in its entirety again. So pretty much there's plans for this Thursday for them to discuss it again, and they should have some documentation at that time from the treasurer as far as being able to make another informed decision on it. So that's the plan. So there's nothing set in stone that they'll pass anything different, but it is possible, depending on what they find out, that they might make some amendments to this already amended tax, if that doesn't further confuse the listeners out there.
That's was sort of my question I had with why electricity, but like you sort of stated that not everyone has the same heating uses, like propane, wood or oil. But like I said, this is going to hurt some people who heat their home solely on electricity. Especially the seniors. I was listening to the legislature meeting last week. I remember hearing that somewhere, that this could be a burden to the seniors. Any of that thought process behind the revote?
Yeah, I think that pretty much after the debate on Thursday that took place, I mean, it seems like both sides are still kind of set in their current stance as far as what they believe to be best. But once they have this financial you know, document from the treasurer or anything that like, gives them as best knowledge as they will have as for how much they think will get them in revenue on this tax on electricity, that might change their opinion. So we'll have to see. I do know that we had reported around the time that this energy tax at first got voted on in the summer of 2020, that Cayuga County, which has 76,000 people, which is of similar population size, just a little bit larger than Sullivan County, had a similar tax on all these forms of residential energy. And they got around $2.5 million annually, or $2.75 million annually from that. So that's from all the taxes. So I don't know if that gives a good idea out there how much, I don't know how much of that is electricity, but you know, you're looking at even less than that number in annual revenue. But as I heard from someone at the county level recently, when they put the budgets together every year, every spare million, every spare thousand does help. So that's something they have to weigh.
Right. With this pandemic and with the new Delta variant, we don't know what the future can hold. It seems like it changes every day. Now, there is something happening in the county with community solar. There are some towns that are opting in to have community solar in their town, which gives them a discount on the electrical bill. I believe it's a 5% discount. Now, with this energy tax that could be installed soon, which is a 4% tax, that sort of cancels each other out. I don't know if you know the answer to it or if you know if this has been brought up at any of the meetings.
Yeah, I mean, at this time, I haven't heard any discussion on solar energy, but I will say that in a way, it might incentivize more people to get it because that 5% from solar energy will still help, because if you don't have that and your tax went up 4%, then you know, you're looking at an even greater financial cost than those who are in that program. So.
And like I said, many are already going to see this benefit without even doing anything. Besides towns like Fallsburg, and I believe Thompson is looking into it, to this community solar. So once they pass that local law, basically residents have this option, will have this discount automatically put on their bill. The individual, I believe, has to opt out not to get it. But why would you opt out if you're getting a 5% discount? But
yeah, I think that solar is an interesting topic in the county, and I'm sure at another time someone in that field might be able to talk maybe about misconceptions or, you know, maybe at a later date who could explain why people have chosen to opt out for sure. But
right, right. Definitely. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Let us know what's happening with this energy tax. And I said, folks can read your reporting in the Sullivan County Democrat newspaper once the meeting happens, or if they want to, many listeners, I'm not sure if they know, but you can watch live feeds of legislature online. Just check out the Sullivan County government website for the meeting agenda minutes and tune in on Thursday and you can watch this happen live. Again, thank you so much for joining us, Joe. I do really appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patrice Rubio.
And thank you, Patricio, for doing that work on the local edition. You're listening to the local edition, local news and information. We're keeping you connected in the Catskills and also in Northeast Pennsylvania. And right now we have a bit of a question for you. Okay, placed second in Jeopardy in June and works as the director of clinical services and works with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities at New Hope Community in Loch Sheldrake. If your answer, phrase in the form of a question, was who is Aaron Rione, you are correct. On the phone with us right now is Aaron joining us live. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
I hope the music didn't give you any flashbacks or anything. Shell shock.
No, it was perfect.
Well, congratulations first off for even getting on the show. How did that even happen?
I auditioned actually in 2018 in Manhattan, and then I was supposed to be on in March 2020. So I bought my plane tickets and everything, and then all of a sudden COVID happened, so they had to reschedule. So I ended up going and filming in March 2021.
Oh, and so I mean, but I bet you were glad to be able to get there in March and stuff. Well, I mean, what's What did they do to facilitate making a TV show during the time of COVID, or by that time was it pretty much just the same as it would have been if you'd gone the year before?
No, there were a lot of precautions in place. When I went in March, a lot of people still weren't vaccinated, so it was very different. We had to, do our own makeup. We had to bring our own snacks. It was an empty studio. There was no audience. So things were definitely different because of COVID.
And did you, what do I want to ask here? I've heard that like when you go, you have to bring like multiple changes of clothes in case you win. And so is all that true? Yeah.
Yes, it is. They actually film 5 episodes in a day. So they tell you to bring, at least 2 or 3 changes of clothes with you in case you do end up winning.
Right, because if you're the one that wins, you come back the next day, quote unquote, on air. That's that day. You keep going. I had imagined that my goodness, it must be, it's stressful enough doing it once.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine doing it more than once. And it was interesting because, the contestant pool for the day, there's not very many of us. It's about 11 people. So because there wasn't able to be an audience because of COVID, we were the audience. So we got to sit and watch, all the taping for the day and clap and all of that because there wasn't anybody else allowed in the studio.
Wow. So, so what's it like? I mean, first off, did you grow up watching the show? Is this something that you wanted to do for a long time?
Yeah. I started watching it when I was in probably 6th or 7th grade. And I just thought it was really cool that there was a show just about kind of random trivia. And I read a lot, so I try to pick up on things. So I've kind of always wanted to be on it. And then when I had seen that you could take an online test to try out for it, I figured I would just give it a shot.
And then what happened?
Oh gosh, probably about 3 or 4 months after I took the online test that they gave me an email to come to the audition. And then probably about a year and a half after the audition is when I got the call. So it's almost at that point you sort of forget about it, and then you see that someone's calling from California, and you're like, oh, who could this be? So it was really interesting.
And that was the start of the journey there.
Yes.
So when you're actually there with the lights in the studio on you and everything else, I mean, what was that like, and how did you do?
It was terrifying. It was really, really, it was scary. It was just, it feels very surreal and it goes by very fast. Cause when you're watching it at home, there's commercial breaks, but when you're filming it, it almost goes almost straight through. So you're really only filming up there for maybe about 25 minutes and it flies by.
Wow.
It's almost like you don't have time to think. The hardest part is just making sure you're getting that buzzer. And that's really, honestly, the most difficult part of it.
When I grew up around here when I was a kid, they actually had, well, we called it Quiz Bowl. The name of the show was Countdown. But it was shown on like cable access, but we filmed it over at the college right there in Loch Sheldrake.
Oh, and awesome.
We would leave school and there would be 4 of us, from each school on screen at once with a buzzer, on a painted plywood set with an electric buzzer mounted to it. And you'd ring in and ask. And I mean, I remember that being pretty tense, and that was just over at Loch Sheldrake, I can't imagine going all the way to California and being there, on Jeopardy. That's phenomenal. I still remember some of the questions I got right, 25, 30 years ago. Like, do you remember like questions that you got right or wrong, and how long do you think that's going to end up sticking with you?
Yeah, I definitely remember the ones that I got right, but I also definitely remember the ones that I got wrong.
Right.
Because afterwards, the ones you get wrong, they kind of stick because you're going, oh, I can't believe I said that. The ones you got right definitely stay with you, especially like the Final Jeopardy. Like, yeah. I'll probably never forget that.
So you made it to Final Jeopardy. What what was the question, and what did you say?
Oh, gosh. It was something like the category was American women. And it was something like, you know, this woman divided her second marriage, her residence between Greece and California and New York and Paris or something like that. And I did get the answer right. It was Jacqueline Kennedy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. So you got it right.
Yes.
There's this whole other side, though, of like at the same time, you got to like try to answer questions and work out the timing of the buzzer and get on. There's also like this... like kind of like gambling and math side of it. Like you got a wager and stuff. How'd you do with that?
There is. They give you, you actually have to do your math with a pen and paper. So when you get the category for Final Jeopardy, you get a pen and a piece of paper, and they give you a few minutes to do the math and try to figure out how much to wager. So it can actually get kind of tricky. I just figured, you know, I was in second place going into it, and I figured that if I risked nothing, then I could still finish in second place. So I risked nothing, and I ended up finishing in second. So that worked out well for me.
Wow. Well, I mean, so this is great, and I come from a Jeopardy household, so I hope they're listening to the interview, because the people watch Jeopardy. You know, a lot of changes unfortunately happened to Jeopardy in the last year or so, just as we all went through so many changes in the world. But a big change over at Jeopardy, and they've had a series of guest hosts for the better part of the last year. Who was your guest host?
It was Savannah Guthrie.
Oh, and how was that? What was she like?
Oh, it was great. She was really nice, but I mean, the best part about it is she's used to doing live TV on her feet, so she just rolled with the punches. She was awesome.
Right. Wasn't like you have like a movie star type person who's, you know, used to retakes. This is somebody that just goes live. Oh, there's nothing like live. Well, before we go, is there anything else that you want folks to know about?
No, I mean, it's just. Thank you for having me. This is really fun talking about this experience.
Well, it was, and we're glad that you're still smiling and laughing about it and willing to talk about it, because not everybody goes to Jeopardy, but most of us know what Jeopardy is. So, I thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll be checking in with you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. This is Radio Catskill. That's going to do it for the local edition. Local news and information keeping you connected right here in the Catskills. And we were just speaking with Aaron Rion, Director of Clinical Services for New Hope Community in Loch Sheldrake. And she was on Jeopardy. You want to stay tuned, because coming up, it's Music Emporium with Mr. Kusar Grace, which is always a phenomenal show. You don't want to miss that. It's coming right up. Until then, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. My name's Jason, and we do the local edition every weekday at 6:30, just like this. So come back tomorrow. We'll do it again. Thank you.
Support comes from the Catskills Food Hub, connecting the community with local and regionally sourced fresh food. Order online and pick up weekly in Liberty, Livingston Manor, Margaretville, Narrowsburg, and Wurtsboro. Supporting agriculture and contributing to a healthier community. CatskillsFoodHub.org. From the River Reporter newspaper, RiverReporter.com. And from listener donations at WJFFradio.org.
And yes, the on-air component of our summer fun drive is over. We didn't quite make our goal there, so there's still time for people to make a donation online at WJFFradio.org. That's still possible. And the website's right there. And also all the information about everything we got going on here at Radio Catskill. What else do we got going on? Weather happens. It's out there. Atmosphere, moisture, all that stuff. And tonight, still a chance of some scattered thunderstorms. Mix of clouds overnight. More showers through the overnight with a low of 65. Rain in the morning. Scattered thunderstorms arriving tomorrow afternoon. Potentially heavy rainfall at times, of the high of 77. And it's definitely going to rain tomorrow night with thunderstorms in the evening. And